It's a little bit after 4 o'clock here on KDNK, and you are tuned to Everything Under the Sun, a little half-hour news segment we do with the staff of the Sober Sun, which today is just me here. Gavin Dahl is hopefully coming back into the studio any second here. Here, he's back and ready to chat about a special event that KDNK is hosting and that I will be participating in, your news, your community, that... is sort of intended to enhance the relationship between journalists and the folks that we cover and the folks that listen or read us. Gavin, why did you decide to get involved in this event?
Yeah, thanks for having me back on the air to talk about this. And
no breaks for you, Gavin.
I didn't even hear your theme song.
We did it.
But it was just like, boom, and it was over. So yeah, thanks. I barely caught my breath. So I was just going to say, you know, this really started when Common Cause Colorado reached out to us. And for those who don't know, Common Cause is a nonpartisan, nonprofit, national organization that's been around since the 60s or 70s and always done kind of good government work, you know, looking at voting rights and issues around money and politics. And in the last 10 years, they got more and more involved in, you know, issues around media and democracy and how journalism and access to the media can really have an impact on a healthy, you know, vibrant ecosystem for politics. And Michael Copps was the longtime FCC commissioner, federal communications guy, who was really a public interest champion. And when he left the FCC, he went to work with Common Cause and really pushed Common Cause to be more media focused. And so I've been a big Common Cause supporter for years. I'm a big fan. And anytime we need, you know, a source in Denver on political issues, you know, certainly like League of Women Voters is kind of a known entity. Common Cause along those same lines, they're used to picking up the phone and it's a journalist on the other end saying, hey, can you comment on this recent issue, you know, money in politics or whatever else? And so when, you know, on the flip side of that, when Common Cause calls us, I'm what's going on? What's going on? And so Caroline Fry is one of the organizers with Common Cause statewide, based in Denver. And she reached out and said that this new collaboration called the Colorado Media Alliance that Common Cause is part of features, you know, Colorado Independent, the news organization, and KGNU and the Open Media Foundation and many other allies of KDNK's on the front range, that they were going to be doing an event like this in Fort Collins and they wanted to schedule something up here. And of course I jumped at the opportunity to provide our listeners with an interesting, you know, live broadcast. And so I said, let's make a radio show out of it. And, meanwhile, the Fort Collins one hasn't happened yet, so we'll actually be doing the first one of these Your News, Your Community events in the whole state. And the idea is to bring together reporters from a variety of different outlets and different beats with local community members to do in-person conversations. And so we, you know, immediately I reached out to the Soper Sun and said, you know, it'd be a natural, you know, partnership for us to kind of dig into this experiment in engagement with the audience. And it's been interesting as we've kind of added to the agenda and added to the invitees, how unique it's going to be to get all these people from these different organizations in the same room. Because from the radio side, we have Samuel Bernal coming from Radio Tricolor, mm-hmm. the Spanish language station. And we also have Mark Dugan coming. He's the program director and a longtime journalist who's currently with KBUT in Crested Butte. And he's worked in a lot of different public radio stations in and out of Colorado. And a really neat guy. I met him at a meeting with NPR's ombudsman that I went to this summer. It was really cool. So we'll have some radio representation and really three very diverse stations from each other, you mm-hmm. know, totally different audiences amongst the three of us. And then not only Soper Sun and I think John Stroud or another reporter from the PI.
I understand Stroud's planning to join us.
That's a big get. I mean, John is a busy man and I think well-deserving of his big promotion to the head of the editor-in-chief of the Post Independent.
Yeah, long-time journalist. Right. And, you know, as long as I've been alive, John's been putting out news in the wrong
Well, you're pretty young, though, so that's not that long.
You're kind of a spring chicken yourself, then.
No. And so, but, you know, it's really exciting that we get a few minutes of John's time as well, so it'd be great to hear from him and, of course, a longtime KDNK supporter. And then it's interesting because from there, through Caroline and Common Cause and through our efforts, we've been able to attract the head of the High Country News.
Yeah, which and is huge.
To me, I think High Country News is one of the best magazines in the world. I mean, one of my top five all-time publications. I'm a complete geek for HCN, a longtime subscriber. And, of course, we do some segments on KD&K. We need to do more of them, honestly, called Sounds of the High Country, where we interview reporters from High Country News about their work, kind of like news briefs that we do on KDK. Sure. And so we're really excited to have Paul from High Country News coming. And then any news on Rio Blanco?
Nikki Turner will be joining us.
And that's the Rio Blanco Herald Times?
Yeah, and so they're another weekly on the Western Slope. Mm-hmm. We're not completely alone, although I haven't been able to find many independent weeklies on not in county seats, which is interesting. So maybe mm-hmm. that, in addition to our nonprofit status, that might be a little unique for us. But anyway, Nikki is not only the editor of the Rio Blanco Herald Times up there in Meeker, which just ain't that far away, you know, kind of like the Crested Butte radio station. These are folks right. that are covering very similar issues to us. And we kind of lose track of sort of the regional perspective now and again, I think, trying to, maybe not KD&K as much as the Soper Sun, but we're a very hyper-local paper. We're looking at what's happening here in Carbondale and maybe Basalt or Marble if we're feeling, like we got a lot of energy. So that should be interesting. But Nikki's also a member of the board of the Colorado Press Association.
Yes.
So she's relatively new to that. I don't know how much perspective she'll have to bring from that, but she's been to a few meetings, and that's a pretty big organization for us, still working in ink, because it's how we all get together and connect.
Well, so for folks who haven't heard the news, Soper Sun actually brought home some acclaim from the last Colorado Press Association annual conference, right?
Yeah, we did. We brought in three first place awards and a second place award, which just ain't half bad. Our photographer, got two of those.
Yeah.
And I think we've always emphasized our photography, so we weren't surprised that that was something that we did pretty well. I mean, if you look at this week's cover, I think that's technically the largest photo we've ever published.
I love
because
we've
gone up a little bit in size,
right?
And we filled the whole space. So,
folks, if you haven't picked up the new Soper Sun out on newsstands all around Carbondale and beyond today, it is one of the best looking covers I've seen, and I've been, you know, been here 2.5 years now. I mean, that's I look at it every week, and I think I just love this cover. It pops, you know?
Yeah. We played around a little bit with the format, have some kind of leans over the flag a little bit, which is an experiment. But I'm glad you felt that it pops. That speaks both to Jane's photography and Terry Ritchie's layout prowess. So, and also I want to just give a nod to the board, which without which you would not be seeing it on newsstands today. Our distribution guy is out, and we have our all volunteer board out there.
Wow.
Delivering papers.
The
so
average
it's really,
Soper Sun reader wouldn't even know. That's,
well, no,
that's
you
great.
Know,
that's the goal, right?
Sometimes they do know. If the folks at Senior Housing don't get their paper at exactly the time they expect to, I generally hear about it, which is great. I love to be running something that people sort of check their watches too.
Right.
It means they're looking forward to it.
Where is the Soper Sun printed these days?
It's printed in gypsum. Okay. So we're printing with Colorado News Media and the Swift Press there. Mm-hmm. There really aren't a whole lot of alternatives on the Western Slope at the moment, but mm-hmm. One of the perks of that is we were able to adopt the same format as the Post Independent at the Aspen Daily News, which I believe is actually printing with the Denver Post these days. And the Aspen Times and our fellows on the Western Slope. So that's hopefully made things easier for folks in terms of mixing and matching content and ads. So back to the matter at hand.
Yes.
do want to make sure a couple of notes. One thing, this is technically a call-in show. We'd love to hear what you think, both about this event and about us. And if you have any questions that you'd like to answer now, give us a call, 970-963-2976. But also, if you plan to join our event, please check it out. It's going to be 4 to 6 p.m. Second half will be the live broadcast. First half will be a little more informal, kind of, small group talks. October 13th, that's Saturday, mm-hmm. here at the station, mm-hmm. 76 South 2nd Street in Carbondale. You can sign up on Facebook. That'll give us some sense that you're coming. There's also an online RSVP you'll find through our Facebook and through our website that'll direct you to Colorado Common Cause, and they'll know you're coming. So we'd love to know that in advance. There is some limited space. Also, we'd love not to be a room full of journalists with no one to talk to.
Yeah, but I think it'll be fun regardless, and we really want to encourage you to come and participate. Also, you know, it's really simple if you want to. You can just RSVP by emailing me. That's an easy way to do it. Gavin@katieandk.org. If you pick up the Soap or Sun or look online, there's a link in the article where you can go and RSVP as well. But you can always just write to me. It's simple. Gavin@katieandk.org. And we just want to make sure we have room for everyone. I think we will, but we just don't want to have to turn people away. Especially anyone who's driving from any distance. But, you know, we want to meet face-to-face. We also want to talk about the idea of fake news. And, you know, of course, that is a term that's bandied about a lot in politics right now. But it can be very detrimental to news organizations to have a widespread distrust, particularly of local media. And I think it's something that we have to be a little more aggressive in countering ourselves. I think, you know, you look at, like, the Denver Post. It was very unusual. It was anomalous for Denver Post staff to actually speak out about the decimation of their own newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as an industry that's been in such decline across the country, it's over the last, you know, 10 years, it's not common that you see a headline in a newspaper about the state of its own publication. And so I think this is a chance for us to do that a little bit and hopefully answer questions about that whole kind of fake news issue. I mean, one of the things we talked about in the article, if you pick up the Soap or Sun, is that I occasionally hear from people that, oh, well, I'm not a KD&K supporter because NPR is just too liberal for me. And I ask them, have you listened lately? Is that judgment based on research, you know, evidence? And usually not. But, but you know, that's I think people are entitled to their opinion. And we all should be thinking critically about the news we consume. The problem with that particular claim is I think it tends to shut down the debate and the thought process before people actually take the time to get the evidence. And there is a new study out from Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, FAIR.org, where they took a look at the think tank sources featured on Morning Edition for over 6 months of 2018.
And well, the other thing that surprised me about that assertion that I wanted to clarify and kind of got into in the article, even though it didn't seem to be maybe obvious for you, was that NPR isn't KD&K's content. It's
right.
It's something that you're providing, secondarily, in the same way that we don't tend to run wire stories in the Soap or Sun. We got kind of limited space in our little weekly, so we keep it local. But most of the dailies in the Valley, you'll get to a state or news section, and that's not written by your local news reporter.
It's
those
AP.
Are Associated Press stories, or sometimes in the case of Swift, they borrow from other publications that they own around the state. But it's a distinction that a lot of people miss is, we're not all producing our content. We try to label opinion as something different than news. And, John Stroud spoke to me about that, you're a biased newspaper because I read this opinion about the left or the right. Well, no, it's meant to be an opinion. That's not reflective of the opinions of anybody in the organization necessarily. Even an editorial, which we don't do as a nonprofit at the Soap or Sun, but again, a lot of dailies do, and weeklies elsewhere. An editorial is the opinion kind of the editor and potentially of an editorial board, but may not reflect the opinions of any of the reporters. There's room for kind of diversity of thought in the newsroom, and I'd hate for it to be otherwise.
Yeah, and I think that's a key distinction that we're challenged by at KD&K, because we have over 100 volunteers, and when those volunteers are on the air, the views and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of the station. Well, what about when you hear the news on KD&K? So, for example, if you listen to Morning Edition, you hear NPR, and then we cut away to our local coverage, Raleigh or Amy or any of our other contributors, that coverage should be unbiased. That coverage should present as fair and accurate of a story as we can. But then you have, for example, our Morning Edition host, Steve Cole. Well, Steve often interjects. I mean, people like his sort of friendly style. He's your buddy who's telling you whether or not you need to scrape the windshield in the winter. and so sometimes he will make remarks about news, and I'll get calls about it. People will say, hey, you know, the tree that came down last year, he and Bob mm-hmm. Schultz made a few comments afterwards that they could understand how for some people people didn't understand why, what's the big deal about such a tree. I don't even think that was their personal opinion. They were just saying, well, you know, you can imagine that someone could say that.
Mm-hmm.
But that really upset some people, you know. And so while I don't think that I'm not impugning Steve or Bob Schultz, they weren't doing anything wrong, but it's completely fair for a listener to have some confusion about the difference between what you hear that's capital J journalism and what you hear that's public access radio.
And I imagine that's particularly challenging for you because the majority of programming on KD&K is not the news.
Exactly.
You open up the Soap or Sun, you expect the majority of it to be the news. That's not necessarily going to always be the case. There's three different columns in this week's paper and mm-hmm. a bunch of letters. It is election season after all.
Yeah.
None of which were created by the staff at the Soap or Sun.
Oh, I thought you call Fred Malo every week and you're like, hey, will you write something for us? That's not how it works.
No, it's not. Fred often comes to my high noon little time at the poorhouse, which I just got done with. But you know, you'll actually hear less from Fred this month because we have put in place a new sort of policy on letters and opinions, which basically states you get three letters a month or you get a column. In this case, he opted for a column, so mm-hmm. I'm sure he'll be right back at it come November 1st. But we really want a diversity of opinion as well. So that's a challenge too, is people both writing letters and reading letters and not necessarily understanding the limitations of what we can offer and how we do it. Similarly, we're not in the era usually of the newspaper writing an obituary. We'll do a feature when somebody passes of who's prominent within the community, but we receive a lot of obituaries that are provided by the family, and that's not us. In many papers, it's actually advertising. It's something you have to pay for.
Yeah.
It's not the case in The Sun, but we think that's an important distinction. So it's worth looking at that. And I think there's an irony to the fact that journalism is a job that often involves really sort of featuring what other businesses, what public institutions are doing, really trying to make sure that folks understand the inner workings of stuff outside their own experience. We're really pretty bad at telling people about the inner workings of our own organizations.
Well, it's also just the time constraints and the capacity. You know, I like this idea in mainstream news of, you know, getting to peek behind the reporting process, or, you know, reporters that use Twitter to update you while they're on scene at a story because it feels live in a way. But I just don't see our news organizations, I mean, the news side of KD&K and, of course, the primary news side of Soap or Sun, we just don't have time to say, okay, here's a 5-hour day in the life of the reporter. Like, I think that would actually be really fun, but it's going to take, you know, grassroots TV coming in and documenting us for a day or something. I just don't, you know, I don't see that as the priority right now. I think the one other thing I really want to stress, Will, about why we're encouraging people to participate on Saturday with Your News, Your Community, this event here at KD&K from 4 to 6 with all of our friends from around the region doing journalism, is really the opportunity for community members to have a voice in the conversation. I think what I really want to stress for folks to think about, if you're considering maybe joining us on Saturday, is what are some issues that you see covered by state and local news sufficiently, and what do you think is being ignored? You know, right now in the very back of that blue book that you get in the mail for the election, there's a page toward the back that's the single list of all the statewide ballot items, and it's a lot. I mean, even for you and me, who have been watching this process throughout the whole political year, and we're pretty familiar, you know, with the difference between Y and Z, et cetera, there's a lot to figure out. I mean, I'm still making up my mind on some of those, you know.
Absolutely.
And so I think that's you know, no matter how much we try, there's a lot of stuff going on. There's way more going on than we can't be comprehensive. I mean, in fact, I'm really impressed how comprehensive The Sun is about Carbondale on a weekly basis, given how little your budget is. I mean, it's been some really impressive. But you see, you know, I think another key thing that we want to ask folks is, do you see yourself represented in the reporting that's done? One of the really key, you know, evolutions here at KD&K in bringing on Raleigh Burley to the staff was finally there was someone bilingual in the journalism office, you mm-hmm. know, and that meant that when Sandra Lopez went into Sanctuary, we already had sources from Immigrant Rights Coalition, from Unitarian Church, from the immigration attorneys, from Sandra herself. And that was just a natural thing that, of course, we would have that story, you know. But that's not how it's always been. And I think one of the big challenges for KD&K moving forward is, how do we reflect each of the different communities that we serve. We have 9 FM signals. And how do we make people more interconnected? I think one of the big debates for us, and this is my last comment here, is that we've historically said that KD&K is cultivating community or connecting community. And I think that's great. If you're part of KD&K, if you're a member of KD&K, you're in the community of KD&K. But really, in the long term, I want us to connect communities. I want someone in Leadville who listens at 93.5 FM to care about what's going on with someone in Parachute and vice versa. You know, I think we have the opportunity to, because we're a little more broad, to connect people across that way, whereas you guys have the opportunity at the Soap or Sun to be really pretty dang comprehensive about what's going on in Carbondale. I mean, not as much as we'd like to, but...
Right. Well, I very much appreciate that perspective, because we try to be, you know, we go to most of the trustee meetings, even when it's the budget, although you don't always get a story on it. You might just see the students of the month. I think that's important. And we're trying to give you some sense of the election. Like you said, there are so many items on the ballot. And you're thinking of them both in terms of what they mean and also the numbers attached to them and who supports what. And then there are candidates, and it's a mess. I mean, it's a lot to work through, and it's our job to work through it as much as possible and also be an important part of the community as a whole. And I really appreciate, and I'm kind of jealous of, you know, Katie and Kay's efforts to put together this community room to really not just put on public events, but be a hub for the community. So before you run off on me, tell me just a little bit about that. You've been really using the heck out of that room.
Yeah, I mean, a huge amount of credit goes to Steve Skinner and to some of the previous iterations of our board of directors who got this place remodeled and got that room set up. And then we also got a very, very sweetheart friendly deal on a projector and screen from Jake over at Crystal River Spas. He was done with the projector he had in his showroom and gave us, you know, not free, but I mean, you know, really good deal. And we were able to get a grant through Colorado Creative Industries as part, you know, that's who supports these creative districts around the state. And we got real excited about that. And I'm now on that steering committee for the creative district and really respect what Amy and others have done for the arts here. And so we just kind of looked at the big picture in Carbondale and thought, well, how can KD&K help? How can we make a difference? And I think community space is a big area of potential growth for us in terms of a small amount of additional revenue, earned income, but also for being able to make things available to folks. We've had, you know, a clothing swap for a women's organization that just needed a safe, comfortable space. You know, we've had... we've had people literally do their fantasy football draft using our fantastic fast internet from Cedar Networks in our facilities. And so we're renting community space out for $25 an hour in there. We're also making our studios available. You can now do commercial studio production for $100 an hour with an engineer. And so that's meant that we've worked with local governments, with small businesses, with nonprofits. We're doing the inclusion campaign with Value Life for All, which we're really proud to be a part of. And that's getting out there beyond just KD&K's airwaves. That's the other thing, is you can come into KD&K, take advantage of this space, and then go take your work elsewhere. You know, KMTS can run the inclusion campaign. It's not only for us, you know. And so I think that's been really essential. And we really appreciate the Planning and Zoning Commission and the town trustees who last year approved our rezoning of the building. Mm-hmm. The key there was not that we have some big designs on being a commercial outlet, you know, here. It's just that we want to be able to have 47 or 49 people in our building at once and not be in violation of code. So yeah. That's been a great corner turn. You know, we're doing the first Friday kids movie night, which was a big success this last week. We kicked it back off for the season. We usually take a break in the summer. And we had 11 kids in here on Friday night. And that meant that those parents got to go out and go to yoga, go to dinner, go to art openings, you know, support the theater. And so that's another thing we can do. We're not just radio, you know, and I think that's one of the neat things about this space. And again, why I'm so thankful to the town for all those years ago, making a pretty sweetheart deal to the 5 nonprofits that were mm-hmm. originally here. And so thankful to all the leaders at KD&K over the years who've held on to what we've got. And now we've got 5 years left on our mortgage, and we'll own our land and we'll own this building, and we can really think big about what's the future look like. And so again, part of that is it's not just, oh, well, Will and Gavin have some ideas and then we're going to execute them. It's that we want to get input. I want to build consensus around what the future of, you know, news and arts and culture in this town can be. You know, I mean, what do you think about a Pearl Street Mall-esque, you know, road closure down Main Street. Who knows? That could be interesting, you know. What's going to happen to all this Bryn Simon land? I mean, there's a lot of these questions that are going to help define the future of downtown, and KD&K wants to be at the table.
Yep, as do we. And so thanks for being here, Gavin. And if you want to be at the table with us, 4 to 6 p.m. Saturday, October 13th, right here, 76 South 2nd Street, it'll be pretty cool deal, I'm hoping, and go on to Facebook to RSVP, or just swing by, and hopefully we'll have room for you. Like you said, 49 people in that room, we hopefully will fill it. Anyway, by the way, you are tuned to KD&K, commercial-free since 1983. Underwriting on KD&K is an effective way to market your business. Reach your friends and neighbors in the Roaring Fork Valley and beyond with KD&K's reasonable underwriting packages. Email Greg at kdnk.org. You're tuned to Everything Under the Sun, little half-hour segment with the Soper Sun, just about wrapping up, and I've lost Gavin here. So last chance, if you want to give us a call, any comments on this week's paper or on this upcoming event, 963-2976. Otherwise, I guess I think I'm allowed to encourage you to pick up a copy of The Soper Sun, since it's absolutely free. Story from Hayden Gamble on Return to Dirt, several columns, and story on Access After School. Justin Patrick, by the way, hoped he might be able to stop in, has actually out bylined me in the last couple weeks. You can see Megan Taggett's story on Tom Jacobski and Paula Stepp, although I have already had a call from Paula clarifying that she is not explicitly in favor of Proposition 112, as she kind of made clear last night, too. She's weighing both sides, she says. So every once in a while, we're not quite exactly as people feel that needs to be accurate. So you'll probably see a correction in next week's paper on that. And that's the way it ought to be. We ought to be willing to clarify our mistakes. I'm about to sign off. Thanks for listening to KD&K and Everything Under the Sun.